From newsounds.org, this is an archive edition of the Soundcheck podcast. While our WNYC studios are closed, we're doing a series of remote performances and interviews and taking the opportunity to look back at some of the greatest hits from our archives. Back in 2009, the singer Adele first joined us in the studio, and 2 years later, she returned with a live performance of what would become one of her biggest hits just about a week before the release of the album called 21. So we'll take you back to 2011 and our WNYC studios for this archive edition of the Soundcheck podcast. Adele, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hiya.
So the last time you were here, it was May of 2009. It was the day before your 21st birthday.
Yes.
Now, the new album is called 21. Is this basically a roadmap of a year in the life?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's all about a guy. It's not about anything else that happened while I was 21. but yeah, no, it definitely is. Yeah, a map.
And how is that different from 19?
Well, I'm a lot more patient now. I was very stubborn when I was on 19. I would never have said that when I was 19. I thought everything I knew was all I needed to know. And, you know, I was a typical narrow-minded teenager. And now I just want to know about everything. And I'm patient and I'm less expectant. And I'm just excited about everything, really. Like, you know, I look forward. I don't kind of live in the moment only now, you know.
Well, the first album, 19, was a bit of a breakup record.
Oh, yes.
21, more of the same?
Yeah, but in a more intense kind of light. Yeah, definitely.
And so has the songwriting changed with, you know, the passage of these 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a conscious effort anyway. I think it's a natural progression that my songwriting has developed, but it was conscious because I remember a lot of people saying, yeah, you know, her songs are all right, but I don't think her songs are as good as I think her voice is, whatever. And it wasn't in an ego way that I was like, right, I'm going to prove them. But it was like, I really want to be a career artist and I want to show development and growth. So it was something that I just sort of swam in a load of music for about a month solid and literally just sat on my sofa, snuggled with my dog and just listened to so much music, you know. So I think I sort of rubbed off on me, I think.
Well, the album comes out on February 22nd. It's called 21, the sophomore effort from the vocalist Adele, who's here with at least some of the band.
Yes.
And the song you're going to play for us, this will be the lead single from
Yeah, it is.
Called Rollin' in the Deep. So it's also the lead-off track on the record. So is this our kind of introduction to the world of woe and misery that that we'll be swimming in for the next
It is a little hour. Bit, but this one is a bit of an exception. There's still a lot of ballads on the record. I do love a ballad. and the record is made up, you know, kind of mainly of that. But this song was one of the first ones I wrote for the record. And I wanted to have some more songs that were, or not lots, but a couple of songs that were a bit more representative of me as a person. People think I'm very serious and somber because of 19, and I'm actually very sarcastic and like to be a bit of a joker. So I wanted something a bit more fun. But I was also, you know, I was angry. I wasn't weepy and pathetic like I was on my first record with my ex-boyfriend. I was like, get out of my house. You know, I wasn't like, please come back and love me. You know, so, and I wrote this to Paul Etworth, and I said to Paul, I was like, Paul, let's write a ballad. And he was like, no way, I want to write like a really boisterous, cheeky song, and thus Rolling in the Deep happened. Yeah,
let's hear it.
Okay, cool. I've got Ben and Miles with me. We're gonna do a stripped back version for you.
Okay, that's Ben Thomas, who's playing the acoustic guitar, Miles Robertson, who's at our piano. And it's never really a stripped down version when Adele is singing, but this is about as stripped down as this song gets. Rolling in the Deep, it's the lead single from the forthcoming record 21 by Adele.
Reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out and I'll lay your ship bare. See how I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There is a fire starting in my heart. Reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. The scars of your
Is Adele live in the Soundcheck studio, Rolling in the Deep. That's the first single from her forthcoming record 21, her second album due on February 22nd. Adele singing here in the Soundcheck studio, Ben Thomas on guitar, Miles Robertson piano. I'm glad you kept the hand claps from the...
Good, thank you. Well, we actually spiced up the second verse, but I completely forgot. I forgot to do it. I sang it all right, but we actually did a little bit, we prepared something a bit special, but I completely forgot.
That was pretty special, though.
Oh, okay, good.
Now, on the record, though, I mean, in addition to the guitar and the piano and the voice, there are other voices, the hand claps. I mean, it's a big production.
Yeah.
There are a couple of tracks like that on the record that have that kind of big 60s sound that we associate with maybe Motown or John Barry, the composer who just died, who did all the James Bond soundtracks and stuff.
Totally.
Were you thinking along those lines?
No, it wasn't. But I was saying to you just before, I think the thing that I certainly resonate with all that kind of music and 60s music is it's just all instinct. It's whatever feels right and people go with their gut. And that's exactly what I did with this record. I mean, it was whatever felt right. It wasn't about what was current and relevant and trendy. And that was something that Rick Rubin dented in me. It's like, it's all about the song. It's all about how it makes you feel, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the kind of, that's why it kind of has them similar things. And the kind of backing vocals in Rumour Has It and Rolling in the Deep were inspired by Paul Epworth, who we met and he told me to get into character for a note I was trying to reach that I couldn't reach in my voice. And I was like, I felt a bit like, excuse me. I was like, you know, I will get it. Just give me a minute. I've got to warm up and get it. And I put on this accent and I got the note in about 4 seconds. So that was just something that I kept doing. And it adds a bit of like, you know, character to the song. And everyone thinks it's other singers. It's like, no, it's just me. It's just me being Loretta or something like that, you know. And it's like, we kept giving them like lives. Me and Paul kept giving these backing vocals that we were doing lives. It was quite fun.
So this song, Rumor Has It, has a lot of these,
yeah,
a lot of these sounds in it. Let's hear a little bit. This is from the forthcoming
cool
album called 21 by Adele.
Your love anymore.
That is Adele. Rumor Has It is also from the forthcoming album 21. Adele's with us on Soundcheck today. You'll start seeing her on TV. Rumor Has It is kind of a twisted, sordid little tale, isn't it?
It is, but it's complete sarcasm. Like, you know, it's actually about my girlfriends being like, oh, I heard you were dating, blah, blah. And I was like, I've never even heard of that person. And I just thought I was outraged, but in a kind of, in an all right way. I wasn't like angry, but I was just sort of, the fact that I had to set the record straight with my own friends blew my mind.
So every time the chorus comes back, Rumor Has It, something else, you know,
yeah,
every
yeah
chorus.
And then it ends with a different line.
Right,
yeah,
every
yeah
chorus.
And then
sort
all
of
the BVs are whispers, you know, yeah, it's meant to be that.
Now, how many of those BVs, those backing vocals, are you?
Half of them are me and half of them are Ryan Tedder. I was so... The reason that song is all quite like one level with my voice, I was so hungover that my hangover knocked off about 4 octaves of my voice. So that's why everything's like, she. He was professional. He was on time. I was late.
Now, you said before that you were in this game for the long haul. Is showing up hungover really a good career move?
Well, it was the Grammys the night before.
Okay.
And also, the year I won, I wasn't allowed to celebrate, so I made up for it the following year.
So you won 2 Grammys for that the first album called 19. Yeah. Obviously, the new one, 21, not eligible for this year's Grammys.
No.
It came out too late. But there is, you know, a very American kind of background to some of these songs,
mm-hmm,
right? I mean,
yeah,
you were sort of influenced by what you were hearing
heavily
touring around the States.
Yeah, very much. I was here for quite a while touring, and I like to have consistency because I get homesick. So everyone who's with me is the same people for like the whole bulk of the thing. And people, my driver and my tour manager and band, people just started making me compilations of country and bluegrass. And I discovered Wanda Jackson and T-Bone Burnett through the Raising Sand record and stuff like that. And Alison Krauss, of course. And
you know, a lot of Americans have just discovered Wanda Jackson because of that
new record, the Queen of Rockabilly.
I
can't tell you, but it's so exciting. I'm going to be meeting her. It's going to be so cool. But I can't tell you how. Yeah, I don't think it ain't confirmed. Anyway, I'll tell you after when the mic goes off.
Well, she was here just a couple of weeks
ago.
She is a pistol.
No, I know she is. I love her. She's
72,
so fierce.
And yeah.
Anyway, I got into all this music, and it was just it wasn't part of my life growing up. It ain't a part of my family's culture. So I was just completely like bowled over by it all when I started being introduced to it. And I definitely have not made a country record, but the kind of immediate storytelling, kind of honesty, and the delivery and the manipulation of emotions and words and sounds has definitely rubbed off on this record, I think.
And the way the album as a whole kind mm-hmm of takes you on a...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's literally telling
like
a story, but there is kind of an arc to it.
I'm glad you feel like that. Cool,
yeah.
Thank you.
There is one kind of outlier on the record. You do a cover of Love Song by The Cure, which itself is kind of an unusual... first of all, the album, the original Cure is from the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Were you even around then?
I was 88. Wasn't 89, Love Song? thought Love Song was 89.
89. Yeah.
I was a year old.
You were a year old.
Well, no, I was about 8 months old, actually. I was born in May.
So, you know, what drew you to this song?
Well, originally, I definitely wanted to cover, because I really was really moved by the reaction to the Dylan cover of Make You Feel My Love that I did. And I find it a real challenge covering a song in really good ways, but in really bad ways as well. Like, you know, it really cripples me with fear, but I like that feeling. And it was originally Never Tear Us Apart, but my delivery, like my vocal delivery on it, like was like, I must have been thinking of like IKEA or something when I was singing it, because it was not convincing. And I listened back to it.
There wasn't a hangover involved in this one.
No,
though.
I'm not an alcoholic. Hang on, I haven't had a drink for about 6 months. Anyway, I was just, I wasn't connected with it. So that idea went out the window. And then Smokey Hormel and Rick Rubin, they were like, what about Love Song? And I was like, what Love Song, you know? And Smokey started playing it to me, and it was just, if they played that song to me at any other time, any other day in the studio, I would have passed on it. But it was my mum's favourite band. Oh. And when I was singing it and we were jamming it, is the recording, I could smell my mum when I was 6 years old and she picked me up from school, and it was so weird. Like, so it just, like, you know, it was perfect timing for it. And I, you know, it was a soundtrack to my life. First gig was them. I was 3 years old in Finsbury Park in North London. I used to think Robert Smith looked like Edward Scissorhands, so I used to be really frightened of him, but I love him.
Here is Adele singing the song by Robert Smith and The Cure called Love Song. I am fun again. However far away, I will always love you. However long I stay, I will always love you. Whatever words I say, I will always love you. I will always love you.
That is a cover of the simply titled Love Song, originally by the English band The Cure from 1989, and then released by Adele on her album called 21, with Smokey Hormel playing guitar and giving the song a bit of a Brazilian flavor. So this was us rooting around in the Soundcheck archives once again. This was Adele's 2011 visit, her second to our studio. Hope you've enjoyed hearing it. Video available on our YouTube channel. And if you'd like to hear more, check out our full archive of Soundcheck podcasts at newsounds.org. I'm John Schaefer. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. Thank you for being with us for this archive edition of the Soundcheck podcast.